love and friendship be sincere. No prayer can avail with a heart-searching God unless it's sincere. That's actually the definitions out of that dictionary. It's a wonderful dictionary. It gives scripture and everything. I recommend it. But the word that we're looking at tonight is thoroughly. Thoroughly. The adverb form means completely, full, and holy. But the definition is this. There's only one definition for the word thoroughly. It says without reserve and sincerely. It means not to hold back anything. And your motivations are to be sincere for God. Our scripture said that we are thoroughly furnished into all good works, that God has made us perfect and God has given us everything that we need. You know, you can go to Florida and rent a condo for a month or for a weekend getaway. And when you walk in that condo, it's going to have everything that you need. It'll have couches, beds, refrigerators, washers, dryers, and everything. When you walk in there, there's nothing that you need to take with you. For that condo is thoroughly furnished for your needs. God says that I have thoroughly furnished you unto all good works. He has given us everything that we need to do a good work for Him. He has given us instructions on how to walk after Christ. To be holy for thou art holy, He says. To be Christ-like. In His Word, He has left nothing out that is not profitable for us. Acts 11:26, and when He had found Him, He brought Him in. I've skipped something, forgive me. I'm going to jump ahead. I don't want to do that. But He has given us everything that we need to be just like His Son, Jesus Christ. We have everything that we need in the book to learn what it takes to be a true Christian in accordance with the Bible's definition, which we find in Acts 11:26. And when He had found Him, He brought Him into Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves in the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. God has showed us, just like He has showed the disciples in the past, how to walk after Christ. And they did in such a way that they called them Christians for that very reason, because they were truly Christ-like. God has given us even more than He gave them. They did not even have the inspired Word of God by then. They had the apostles' teaching. They had some letters that had been wrote. They had the Old Testament. They had the newness of the Holy Spirit, but they did not have God's finished work in His Word. But yet, even then, they could figure out how to walk after Christ, because God had given them everything they needed to do that. And that's why they were called Christians. God has showed us how to live a Christian life. Not Christian by today's standard, but by the book's standard. He has furnished it all to each and every one of us. And He did not leave out one thing that we were supposed to know or that we need to know. He has given this to us all. Acts 20:20 says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Paul says that he withheld nothing back from teaching. He has showed all his disciples everything that God intended them for them to know. And he did it everywhere he went. Through his teaching and his epistles today, people are still learning who Christ is and how to serve Him. This was given through the Holy Spirit's guiding for us way back then. God has given us everything and has missed nothing or left nothing out to make us thoroughly. When Christ came down from heaven, He was thoroughly committed to one thing, and that was to honor God the Father. He thoroughly walked the face of the earth with a clean and righteous heart. The day that He went to Calvary, He was thoroughly committed to the cross. He was thoroughly committed to taking on every sin the world had, past, present, and future. He was thoroughly concerned with every human on the earth. He was thoroughly in love with each and every one of us. And not the mushy love, but agape love. When He allowed Himself to be nailed to the tree, He thoroughly completed every prophecy concerning His crucifixion. When He cried out, "It is finished," He had, with His shed blood, thoroughly paid the price of every sin the world had. He did His job thoroughly. When we seek Him for salvation and we cry, Lord Jesus, forgive me, He thoroughly takes every sin out of our lives and casts it into the depths of the sea. He thoroughly withholds, without holding on to anything, cleanses us and makes us whole. When we ask for forgiveness, He thoroughly forgets the things that we have done. He has thoroughly done it all, and He did it for us. The definition that we read earlier says, without reserve. Christ has never held back anything except the penalty of sin for those that believe in Him. When God the Father said, go and die for the world, He without reserve went and thoroughly gave Himself. When we that are saved ask Him into our hearts, He thoroughly gave each and every Christian all that He was and all that He is. He did not hold back anything. What was profitable to us, but in Himself, He gave Himself to us. You know, oftentimes in new marriages, one or other spouse will hold things back just a little bit until they build that trust. And if the marriage is healthy over time, they give themselves fully to each other. The day that we were saved, the day that we cried out Christ's name, He gave it all to the marriage that He had for us. He did not hold back anything. He dedicated Himself and thoroughly gave Himself for us. But most saved people today will never reach a point in their life that they can honestly say that I am thoroughly Christ's. That I truly belong to Him 100%. That I have surrendered my life and my will to His. That I am thoroughly committed to everything that He says. They will never be without reserve towards Him. They will always be a part of themselves that will not let go in the name of the Lord. One of Dwight L. Moody's most famous quotations is this: the world is yet to see what God can do with a man fully concentrated in Him. Then he prays, God help me. I aim to be that man. In fact, Moody did not originate the line. Henry Vawley, a British revivalist who had befriended the young American in Dublin, recalled that in 1873, Moody asked him to recount words that they spoke in private conversation a year earlier, just before Moody's return to the United States. Vawley provided this account, as recorded in Paul Greek's Crucial Expressions in the Life of D.L. Moody. He says that during the afternoon of one day of the conference, Mr. Moody asked me to join him in the vestry of the Baptist Church. When we were alone, he recalled a nice meeting at Willow Park and our conversation the following morning. Moody said, do you remember your words? He asked. I replied, I remember our interview, but I do not recall the special utterance. Moody asked, do you remember saying, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully concentrated to Him? Not the actual sentence, Varley replied. Ah, said Mr. Moody, those were the words. Those were the words sent to my soul through you from the living God. As I crossed the wide Atlantic, the boards of the deck of the vessel were engraved with them. And when I reached Chicago, the very paving stone seemed marked with Moody. The world has yet to see what God will do, the man fully concentrated to Him. Under the power of those words, I have come back to England, and I felt that I must not let more time pass until I let you know how God has used your words in my innermost soul. The one-time shoe clerk from Northfield, Massachusetts, became concentrated to God, and he became thoroughly the property of Christ. And his legacy stands today because he was sold out to God. Many people were saved. He is well known for dragging kids to Sunday school. Hundreds of kids each week because he went out and knocked doors and took kids to school in the late 1800s. And today we have the Moody Church from where he started. He is accredited with winning millions and millions of souls because he became concentrated to God. Genesis 11:3 says, and they said unto one another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. During kindling construction, if their bricks are too close together, air circulation would be poor. Large spaces between bricks will help the clamp heat more efficiently and will allow steam to leave the kindling more completely. Allowing steam to leave the brick will reduce the amount of condensation that can get into their brick and increase the strength. You see, a brick, when you make it, has to be baked hotter and hotter and hotter in order to get all the vapors and the moisture out of it. The bricks in Genesis 11:3 had to be burned thoroughly, it says. They had to be heated to a very high temp in order to get the moistures out of the center of the bricks. If there was any moisture left, it would become a weak brick. A lot of moisture, and the brick would fail almost immediately. But if there was just a tad bit of moisture, the brick would hold for a while. But over time, the pressure and eventually would break the brick and cause the structure to fail. The bricks that were desired to be used are the ones that were heated just right. And all the moisture was removed from the center. These bricks would stand the test of time. They would hold up under the pressure and would not give away. God is looking for the same kind of bricks today to help build His kingdom. God is looking for those that are thoroughly His. He is looking for those that have been thoroughly through the fire and all the impurities that have been placed out of their lives. He is looking for Christians that is going to stand the test of time. He is looking for those who will not tuck, tail, and run when times get hard. He wants the ones that are not going to crumble under the pressure of the world. He's looking for those that He can set on a cornerstone, our chief, Christ, and build His church. He does not want a weak structure, but one that is sound in the doctrine of the Bible, one that abstains from the appearance of evil and lifts up his brother in love. He does not need runaways. He does not need troublemakers. He does not need any more of the gossipers or the ones that stir contention and lies. He has enough of those. He needs the ones that the moisture has been removed out of the center of their lives. Ones that are hardened will stand where He has placed upon them and will not give and will not move. He needs bricks that He can build with. God needs thoroughly fired Christians that are thoroughly His. He needs those that day in and day out say, I know what it means, and I'm truly and thoroughly Christ. Oh, what a concentrated man could do for God. Psalms 51:2 says, wash me thoroughly in my iniquities, from my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sins. You know, we don't half wash our clothes and wear them out. We don't go to a nice restaurant with spots and specks all over our shirts and our blouses. No, we wash our clothes thoroughly and fully. And when we go out, we make sure that we are clean, that there is no spots or blemishes left upon us. We need to be thoroughly washed daily by the forgiving grace of Christ. We don't need to carry around the sin dirt like the rest of the world does. We need to go to God on our knees and our faces and seek forgiveness and cleansing. We can't harbor sin. We can't hold on to that one thing any longer. We must needs to be thoroughly cleansed. We cannot reserve the things that are ungodly and unrighteous in our lives. We cannot keep it in our minds and hold it back. In order to be thoroughly Christ, we have no reserve of the world. We have to let it go and allow Him to take control and take over of our lives. If we're holding back, we're not thoroughly His. If we have something left over, we're not thoroughly His. If there's a sin that's there, we're not thoroughly His. For He cannot be there. We need to thoroughly be washed daily. We cannot harbor sin. We must be cleansed thoroughly by Christ to be sold out, to be concentrated 100% to our Lord. We cannot reserve sin in our hearts. We have to get rid of it all. We are to hold nothing back from our God and our Savior. There is no reserve. Jeremiah 7:5 says, for if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I have gave to your fathers forever and ever. We must thoroughly amend our ways and our doings. That is to fix or to change those things that were not right in our lives or the ways that we talk or do. We are to do everything the way that God wants it done, and not the way that the world does. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatsoever you do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." We are not to please men, but to please God. We have to amend our ways so they line up with His. We have to fix the things that are broken between us and Him. We are not to try to fix our life using the world's ways, using the world's doctors. We are to fix our lives using God's Word and the doctrine of the Bible. The world has no understanding of right and wrong anymore. It has no morals. It cannot help a struggling Christian. Only God can. The world has no understanding of how to fix issues of life. They throw medicine, they throw books, they throw, I want to say pity parties. They let somebody cry out and think it helps them. The only person we need to cry out to is God. Search no more, weary Christian. For the cure, the fix, the amending of your life rests in the one that created you, God. The world will put ointments and band-aids on your sores of life. God will take it away. We must thoroughly change our ways to God and allow Him to mend and to restore us. We have been broken since the garden. Our relationship with God has been broken. Christ came and mended our lives with God the Father. He fixed it with a cross. Now we must mend our lives to Him daily at the foot of the cross. Thoroughly restored, thoroughly repaired, and thoroughly healed. We must thoroughly be Christ's. Luke 3:17 says, "Whose fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into His garner, but the chaff will He burn with fire unquenchable." The threshing floor is a representation of His bride, the church. His people, one day, Christ will return, and the chaff will be separated from the wheat. With one swish of His fan, the chaff will be kicked up and blown out. His churches today need to be purged of the world. They need to be hit with His fan of His Word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." We need the callousness and the toughness of the chaff removed from the outer grains of our life. Christ had no roughness to Him, and a born-again believer should not either. This shell was removed the day of our salvation. We were separated from the chaff. But oftentimes we believers become callous and hardened again, so we look like the world. We need to be thoroughly separated, thoroughly cleansed, and thoroughly whole again, that there's nothing but a precious wheat grain that the Lord can use. If the hardness comes back, it's because we have not thoroughly been concentrated to Christ. We must become thoroughly the body of Christ, spotless, white, and adorned and ready for His imminent return as a church. His people cannot be full of chaff, but usable wheat. God has given us everything we need to be everything He needs us to be. He has left back nothing from us. Not one thing. So where do we stand today? How much moisture is left in your brick? How much reserve of self do you have stored in the corners of your life? How sincere are you about your life with Christ? How surrendered are you to His will? We have been thoroughly furnished by God to do His work. He thoroughly gave His Son to the world. Christ thoroughly gave His life for each and every one of us. God thoroughly provided His intent and desires for His people and His Word. We are without excuse. So where do we stand? Do you desire to be thoroughly Christ's today? If so, have you asked Christ to remove the specks and the dirts and the things that do not belong? Have you asked Christ to search the depths and the bowels of your heart and your soul to take out everything that doesn't belong there? Have you given up your favorite things? Have you given up the sins in your life? Or are you still having reserves, something stored? Something in your mind that does not belong. Have you pleaded for Him to make you thoroughly His? We cannot do it in our own power and our own might. We have to go to God for help. We have to learn how. But first we have to have that desire. Do you have a desire to thoroughly be Christ's possession tonight? To be 100% concentrated to Him. One of the greatest names that we can be called is servant. Because that means we are truly His. Are you thoroughly His? Or are you holding back? If you're holding back, that means there's moisture there. That means you'll crumble. That means under pressure you'll give way. We have to be thoroughly His. Do you desire that tonight? Do you have that heart for God that you want to be concentrated to Him? Let's stand. Father God, we love You. Lord, and even in my own understanding, I've asked You to show me, will it truly